You're listening to
the Music Interval Theory Podcast with TC and Frank.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Music Interval Theory Podcast. My name is Frank, and today I want to show some exclusive audio materials from a conversation that I've had with my friend TC. I think it was around mid-2023 or so, when we had many conversations about creativity and what being an artist means to us. Well, I stumbled upon one of these recordings, and I thought this was really interesting, and I want to let you in on that discussion. So, let's roll.
Originally, we started this project under the name the Bible of Creativity, which made sense back then, I would say. To some degree, it still makes sense to me. But then you and I discovered that this religious connotation most likely might work against us, since that is not what we want to convey with that product or that work. And that is why we changed the name to the Creative Compass that becomes your North Star as an artist, that keeps you on track, shows you the possible next steps on your unique artistic journey. And I think it's a very valuable collection of ethics and our own values and some bits of philosophy here and there. And the purpose of these discussions is, I believe, to refine what we have written down already, to make this even better, more concise, maybe, to package this in the best way possible.
Well, yeah, the renaming to the Creative Compass, I think, has a more direct relationship to artists, an artist that is maybe searching for something. You know, if you're in the woods, a compass is pretty valuable too. And, you know, I'll speak for myself. I like the spiritual part of creativity. I didn't want to confuse it with religion because I don't think that's what we care about as much, but we do care about artists understanding that they don't own everything, including the vulnerability of people not liking your art or your creations. That's very difficult for some artists. I think we've done a marvelous job of sort of giving some guidance, which is basically all you can really do with artists is give them some guidance and they decide if they want to take it or not.
And that is, I think, a wonderful introduction to this series of conversations that we will be having on the various chapters. I think it would be smart to maybe have a section before. Here's why. When I reread the first few pages of what we did already, I think we could have been clearer on our personal why. Why do we care about this subject? Why do artists should care about reading this book, right?
I think this is a very good subject to open the book with. How we present that and how we talk about it, it takes a long time to discover your personal why. And the reason for that is that's going to really make you think about it more than you probably have. Until this subject came up, having a creative compass. That's the development of the creative compass. Probably needs to start out with our personal compass and let people see it to be as transparent as possible. And that, I think, will get a lot of people responding to the general goal of discovering your personal why. And I think that's a great way to open the book.
Well, if you ask me 25 years ago, Frank, what's your why that brought you into music? I most likely would have said, I want to be famous. I want to be a rich and famous composer everybody admires. Obviously, this has changed over the last 25 years. And I think that's totally okay. To some degree, it's necessary because you change as an artist and as a human being. And with that will change also your why. And that is just a natural connection there. So I think right now, we don't have to clarify this completely, of course, but I think maybe tying this to a story that really happened in our life that shows very, well, visually in a way, why we've started this whole journey. Because we could almost replace the question, why do we bother about this book with why do we even bother about Nita or our common journey? It will have a similar answer, I believe. And that makes it interesting because it really goes down to a very deep level. And that comes down to your personality, to who you are. And this might change over time, and it most likely will. That is a wonderful subject to get into this philosophical topic almost. It's necessary to pick everybody up because they might not have a personal why yet. So they get this book in their hands, they open it. From the very first page on, I think there should be a hook, which is something like, oh, I can relate to this. I do understand what this person is feeling right now because I've experienced something similar. And funnily enough, you know that I'm reading a lot of books, mostly based around the subject of business, which is also sometimes very personal. It's not just about tactics and strategy. This is really about who you are as a person and how much risk or pressure you can take. And this also comes down to knowing who you are as a person. And there is this common ground to the artistic side. I think over time, you will realize who you are. And this becomes part of your personal why. And the same is true on your end. I actually, sorry for not letting you get to the mic. I have a few stories in mind that you told me about your own past. And I think there are fantastic stories that we could pick from. They also, they have a side of humor to them very often, which makes them relatable, right? So this should not turn into a lesson, I think. This is just a friendly introduction to a subject that is very important.
Well, I absolutely agree, because I think the personal story is really, really what's going to get everybody excited about this.
Telling a personal story that illustrates the why.
That sounds good. See, for me, the why you do something and who you are is something that changes your whole life. And since we have a big age difference, this will be a very interesting way for us to start this book.
Absolutely. It might be complementary. It might not be contrary, I think. I can't imagine that because I know who you are to some degree. We've spent so much time together.
Yes. Yes, you do. I also spent a little time this morning reading the first story. And so I have a few comments on that, but I think having our characters have more depth would be the general statement, and having them really searching for their personal why is probably a good theme to have through a lot of the stories. Our character Maya, I think, could be a very interesting character. It starts off for me a little bit just flowery and stays flowery. I didn't really get that she was challenged. And so I think we could set the story up. And of course, you know what that means is Mark Berkowitz is going to be having to rewrite some. But you probably can find, he's written so much great music, find pieces that will fit perfectly. But starting the story off, I think, should be more of who she is and why she is and where she's from and all that. I think it should start off more for her being born in a city that is super bustling and there is no room for you as an artist. Those people are too busy. It's not an artistic community that you were just born into. You're born in a bustling, overpacked city with people that don't have any time. And you're an artist at heart and you're challenged and you don't even know what's bothering you so much until you've had time to think about it. And maybe nature, visiting a park, a local park, is a place where you start to get the inkling of your personal why or your creative compass. And I think the stories can be more presenting the challenge of being a human being, but that translates into being an artist. So to me, being a human is first and being an artist is a second. It's a category of human. You know, some people's personal why is, I won't name any names, but I worked for a person that was a big producer of music. He didn't even play an instrument. He was in Los Angeles. He was a big producer. And he had a building and he had a big office. He drove a white Rolls Royce. And he made no bones about the fact that when he was in the military as a young man, he would look at pictures of expensive cars and Rolls Royce, and that was his personal why, because he saw he could make a lot of money in music. And consequently, he didn't stay in music. He ended up producing films and all kinds of stuff. That's a completely different type of person, other than it does take talent to see where you can make money. So I think that sort of story affected me to some degree, because I don't think it's easy in this world generally to think clearly if you have a lot of pressure from your life, from your lifestyle. And I don't just mean financial pressure, but let's say family pressure, all sorts of stuff that people have to discover. So I think that's an interwoven theme to some degree in almost all of our stories. It doesn't mean we have to rewrite the whole story. I think we can just set it up a little bit more of a challenging reason for existence as an artist. So that's my general thoughts.
I agree. That's definitely a level that is not present, especially in the first story. The first story does not really have a big overall arc. It starts off the same way, pretty much the same way, as it goes down at the end. And I also thought about the purpose. This is what I asked myself when I reread it. What's the purpose? To me, it ended up that the whole chapter one, which also includes the takeaway section and the creative pool section, this whole chapter one is all about presenting the idea of the creative pool, first and foremost. This does not mean that we can and probably should add more depth to the stories, make them more interesting. The creative pool idea should stand in the middle, since it's a concept not being taught at the conventional institutions. This, to me, was something new back then, and it took away a lot of the pressure that happens when you have to deliver work and the deadlines are coming closer and you are not getting a good idea. So you're feeling more pressure then, and it becomes even harder to create and to write down some good notes. This idea of the creative pool in general is fantastic to help you go through these time periods. To some degree, this happens in the story. This is what Maya experiences. And that is a little bit of a change and development in her character. But I think it's not really worked out very well. We definitely can go deeper on that level and let her go through some more struggles. For example, as you said, let's start in another environment that does not allow for artistic behavior. Because usually artists, they have a tendency to challenge the status quo. This happened a lot of times in the past. And I think this is a very good character trait. And let's give that character trait to Maya. Right now, she doesn't show it, but she might have it already.
I think that's a smart idea. Life is not flowery. I mean, as an artist, I'll tell you, here's an example. When I was in my late teens, I was out of my home early. I think 16 or 17. It's been so many years, I'm not sure when. But I left my home with nothing just because I wanted to be free. I didn't know what was in store for me. But I was so angst every day because I didn't know really how I was going to survive. It was really a survival instinct kicking in. And so it made me search harder. And instead of running around with my head cut off, not getting anywhere, I made a habit of every day going to the zoo. And I managed to scrape up enough money to buy a yearly pass so I could go whenever I wanted. And it was very interesting to me to spend that time, because the zoo is very shady and it's got all kinds of animals. The LA Zoo is a beautiful place. And I found myself, my personal why, in increments, little by little. I didn't all of a sudden end up, oh, I got it. Now I have my why. I'm going to be this amazing artist, guitar player. That isn't how it happened for me. It happened slowly over a lot of years. And some of the years were successful, but my first years were really horrible for a lot of reasons, including health. I had had a lot of back problems as a kid in high school and trying to carry my guitar amp, and I could hardly carry it because my back was bothering me and I just had to get through it. Anyway, so walking became a healing method for me physically and also mentally. And spending time with yourself, in a way, I know it sounds silly, but walking was sort of a moving meditation. And that's why I think a lot of people do it. I know you walk a lot.
That's true.
And probably to work out problems. There's a lot of people that don't work their problems out. They sit and suffer. And I just figure the simplest equation for me was, if I'm suffering, I might as well be getting some exercise while I'm doing it. And so I think get out and moving and being in nature is a very, very smart thing.
Well, this, for example, is something that Maya can experience to some degree as well. Because if she started out in a bustling city where there's literally no room and space for her creativity, then, yeah, she has to start looking around and finding other spaces that are more supportive to her natural feelings about creativity and the artistry. So I think that that is a very good story that you brought in, because this will make the story of Maya more interesting. And that is also something I wanted to ask you. When we structure those chapters, right, we have a pattern that we repeat. The stories kick off the chapter, and they are supposed to be entertaining and also teach you something. But we are not clarifying in a very direct and straightforward way what that is. That is why we have the takeaway section, which comes after. I thought about how we want to present those two segments, the stories and the takeaway section, so that they really complement each other and not fight for attention or something. Because I think now that Mark is going through the stories and adds his level of entertainment to the stories, which is wonderful music that supports the storyline, I think that is a fantastic way to enhance the experience of reading through the story and listening to the music simultaneously. Now, the takeaway, in contrast to the story, I think can be way more concise, almost in bullet format. Almost. I'm not suggesting that we actually give bullet points only. But in a way, the shorter, the better. They still decide if they want to take this advice or not, of course.
I don't think we can be really defined, meaning this is the takeaway. I think everybody's going to have their own little takeaway and little things. I think we should keep it just directional. These are the takeaways that we got from it. That keeps it personal. You know, ultimately, we really want our artists to be self-thinkers. They want to, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but in studying composition, you know, my teacher would have a composition that he wrote, and then he says, okay, now you go write one. Well, the problem is his composition, a lot of times, just seemed like the only thing I could do. I couldn't come up with a better idea. So I ended up in competition as opposed to just becoming a composer. So, which is not what we do with the academy. It's the opposite. We give people examples. We do write something, but it's not 16 bars, and we give a lot of examples and a lot of examples on gathering and that sort of stuff with the express purpose of wanting them to develop who they are. So now we're at the beginning. First, let's help you find your personal why, which means we have to be general, I think, about it, but not tell them this is what your personal why is.
Of course, we can't know what their personal why is. I think if we presented something, as you said, these things, these bullet points, they are our own takeaways in an almost tweetable format, which is short, right? So these are not chapters on their own. They could turn into longer segments easily, but I think it would devalue this segment because we can get the point across quickly and in a very precise manner. But I like the idea of being very open at that moment. Like, well, this is the direction you might want to think. And it's just this nice, gentle push at your back that shows you the direction. And you still decide if that direction is right for you or not. We are not pushing you so far into that direction so that you don't feel there is no other choice, right? Because that would not be, in a way, good teaching. It would be projecting your own thoughts to the next generation, which is what we all parents, we all do to some degree. I realize that. I have a daughter. You know that parents, they always want to do the best job when parenting their kids. They want the kids to have everything in the world that they didn't have, but you have to become aware of that. And I think this is exactly what is happening here as well. If we realize, okay, this is where we start projecting our thoughts onto the reader, then let's stop there, because that's not the overall purpose. The purpose is to show possible doors, possible ways, and then let everybody discover and experience their own unique path. Maybe they even find a path that we haven't seen.
So what would be your idea of how we could begin? We each sort of write a story, a personal story, in pursuit of our personal why?
That is a good question, although your why and my why will be different. But I think as an introduction to the overall subject matter, the purpose should be to push the reader into getting closer to his personal why. And for that purpose, I think one of the stories might be sufficient. Maybe even a story that we've experienced together, since we have a few years under our belt right now, where we have built Mita and the Academy. And this would be an ideal story to me. I think it would just be important for the reader to get this little nudge. Oh, this is an interesting perspective. Let me actually think about why I'm doing all this. And once this is clarified, the following steps are way simpler to take. This is an easy thing. They connect almost naturally one to another. We want them to get on this journey of discovering their own why.
Yes. And I think one of the things is to get them to be curious, as well as having angst and just wanting comfort in your life, but to be curious of who you are as an artist. You know, if you're asked to explain who you are as an artist, that's a beginning. But curiosity is much better than pressure. Certainly, if you're going to study composition, you want to be curious. Pressure is when you actually get a job. Then you have the pressure. So I think if we can figure out ways to stimulate curiosity, which happens in the beginning of the course when people write horizontally for the first time in their lives through a couple different lessons, and they come up with some sounds and things that they normally wouldn't have done. I've heard many, many of our composers in training say, wow, I never thought I could write something like that. So they're curious.
And that is interesting, because curiosity also, I wouldn't say is the opposite of fear, since appreciation, I think, is the true opposite of fear. But curiosity is a very similar emotion in that it almost cures fear and being fearful. And I think that alone is a fantastic step for every artist to experience. Curiosity is almost, you know, the energy for kids to explore the world. They don't know anything. They don't know fear. They just do stuff. I'm not judging their activities. Sometimes they are smart. Sometimes, well, they're not so smart, but still, they are curious about their environment, right? And they simply do everything they can. They don't know any boundaries and limitations and restrictions. But that is why they learn so quickly. And yeah. I think we lose a lot of that when we obviously go to school and got trained to behave accordingly to the rules and what the society expects from you. So I think it might be a good start to also take those points into account.
Yeah. Well, I will make an observation that when you're curious and you're really delving into something, you're connected to the creative pool. And that is something you have to just tell people. That's the experience. And musically, that's the experience. You're so curious and so interested in what's happening that you forget. Maybe you can or maybe you can't do something. You're like a kid again. And that's a great analogy, Frank. You're like a kid. And I think that is kind of the heart of our campus, you know, our virtual campus is that environment where you can meet in the hall and you can say whatever you want. You can write a composition. You don't have to worry about whether it's accepted or not. You're around people that are all curious. They might ask you what you did and you have to explain it. But I think that's a very important element that we spend a lot of time nurturing.
Let's focus on curiosity also a bit in the beginning, since I believe now we are not touching upon this subject at all. We do it indirectly a little bit with all of these things connected to it, like feeling confident about something and developing skill and almost even the creative pool where we tell everybody, well, this is a concept that you should think about because it opens up a new perspective, a new worldview almost. And this does not only apply to writing music, it can be the catalyst for having a better life.
Yeah.
If you accept that this is not under your control and you become a receiver and things just happen, comma, that's okay. That's really okay. It's also okay if things don't go the right way sometimes. And if that happens in composition, well, you can start over. Why not? Nobody told you that this is the only idea. You can just ignore that idea and go back to becoming a receiver, and then you get the next idea. Maybe that's a better one. I don't know why this comes to my mind right now, but we were talking about kids and curiosity. Back then, when I was young, like, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, I had a lot of Lego, right? And I spent hours in my room building stuff with my Lego blocks. And it was exactly that experience. Like I, you know, put things together. And then I realized, wow, this is amazing. I had no idea beforehand that I could build something like that. And it triggered new ideas even. And then another hour went by. To some extent, my mother came in and said, Frank, time for dinner. You have to stop now. And I had no idea that I was sitting there and, I don't know, for hours, like 3 to 4 hours. That's the exact feeling where you are connected to the creative pool. As a kid, you can't put this into words because nobody explained to you that is actually what it is. You're just experiencing it. We can put up a piece. Let's take Planet Nine that you wrote. And we've talked about that piece in another episode. You ended up writing almost 30 minutes of music, orchestral music. And you were connected to the creative pool in those sessions. This is what you told me in the past. So I think it might be interesting for musicians and composers to maybe get the story of Planet Nine from a slightly different angle, which is not the teaching part of the composition techniques, but from the perspective of creativity and how to get to those ideas that might not seem very obvious at first glance. And they are not, believe me, they are not obvious. But they sound great in the end. And this is what a lot of people will label as creative work, because it's not stating the obvious. It's not a C major going to an F major chord, right? And I think it might be a nice way of demonstrating the power of the creative pool with a little bit of an application in there. And this is just a suggestion. I'm not saying we have to do this, but it would maybe make this rather abstract concept a bit clearer.
I think it's an excellent thought, and especially when you bring up the thought of time, because, you know, the creative pool, there is no time. When you're connected, it doesn't exist. You know, humans break it down into, well, you have past, present, and future. The present is the portal to no time, because you have to be in the present to be able to connect to the creative pool. You can't be thinking about the past or dwelling on the future. You have to be in present time. So to that extent, those human like segments of time are valuable. But really, where the artist is completely creative is when there isn't any time, like you experience as a kid. So I love that subject, as you know. I think it's great. We even have in the course a piece called Time. You know, like I live on the lake, Lake Lanier, right? You have no wake zones. Well, there's also no time zones. That's a wonderful thing about the way we're built, you know, as receivers and transmitters, if you wanted to boil it down that way. You know, you're receiving, and when you're receiving, creativity That's it. That's the zone you're in. You're receiving and then you're transmitting and translating what it is that you're feeling and hearing and emotional stuff. You know, it's another reason why I think we set a very good precedent for writing kind of a story at the top of your score before you write. Now, you can't always do that if you're working for somebody, but they're telling you a story, so you're scoring their story. But you can make up your own stories. That helps me a lot. I don't know how good of a composer I would be if I didn't have a story in my mind, to be honest.
And sometimes it's just a hit point that shows up a few bars later. But even then, you can do things in reverse and you can figure out how to connect those grid points of the story. And I think that alone is a wonderful technique, because in the end, you will end up with more fluent music. But the question is, how do you get there? And it's not writing every bar linearly from left to right. And I didn't learn about that when I studied the conventional way. So I think it's those little, we could almost call them tricks, right? I don't want to limit them to that word. But these are techniques that will make you free in the end, because you can approach things differently. And you know, you always know there is a next step. You just have to see it. And the creative pool helps you see a lot of these possible next steps, which again, takes away the pressure.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, some fun. Well, it'll be challenging. We've got a lot written though, and a lot of notes. And I think your suggestions of how we approach the opening of this book are real smart on a lot of levels. The main level is people are going to get a lot more out of it.
Yeah, well, that's of course the end goal, to give value. Because right now, I'm very selfish. So for a moment, please let me be selfish. I discovered by writing these chapters a lot about my true inner self. Because as you stated, it makes you think about stuff. It was such an interesting journey that I wanted to continue with that book for a long time. And I just kept pushing and I discovered more and more. So I thought, well, this is fantastic. I didn't care at that stage if somebody else would get value out of this book, because I was getting so much value out of writing these things and discovering things. And obviously this changed over time. And I don't believe it is enough motivation to simply say, I do this for all the others. I'm not quite sure if that is really enough. Again, talking very selfishly here. So you have to have a benefit as well. And the desire grew to share this with everybody else, because you discover the value of those chapters. And then it becomes very clear that this is something you don't just want to hold on to and keep it for yourself. You want to put it out for everybody to experience. And now this very selfish motivation is transformed into giving value to everybody who cares about that subject.
Well, I'll point out this. What you've just described is a perfect example of the evolution of why for you personally. You start off with one thing. Honestly, we have a tendency, I think I'm speaking for everybody in the world. I don't know if I could do that, but I'm
trying. Go ahead. Sure.
We have a tendency to put stuff in a box. And so we have a three-step, just basic process that we use. And the process is you start off with gathering material for your composition. And then the next is that, you know, you've gathered material and now you're going to sketch. And then after you sketch, you develop and you orchestrate. You do this, and then you do this. But that isn't the way it works, as you know. And we try to teach everybody. You may not be done with your gathering until you're done with your composition. You may go back to the beginning. There's no reason you have to leave something behind and start another section that isn't related. You can go back and forth all the times you want. And that oftentimes starts to create curiosity. And then you realize, hey, I'm really growing here. Wow. And then you go into the realm of curiosity, the why, your personal why, all this stuff is all interrelated. It's a long stroke in your life experience of the academy, of our relationship, from the lectures in Vienna, all that sort of stuff. It's very interesting. And you and I will learn a lot, I think, from considering all this stuff for this book.
And I really like the idea of getting back to this why, because this is the driving motor for this whole product, I think. And yes, the why might change, of course, but you have to have a why, because otherwise, why are you doing this? But I believe this is a wonderful and round end for the first chapter. So we have a lot of ideas now to make this better. And I hope that we also could give the listener a little bit of an idea, at least just an idea of what is happening with the Creative Compass, and in particular, the first chapter and the Creative Pool. So it's a very deep and interesting subject.
That's right. And I will say, because you've said almost everything that I would be thinking, but I will say to everybody out there that's listening, just do two things. Be curious and be consistent. And that will really pay off for you. Curiosity, once you're curious, you are connected to the creative pool. There is no time. 2 hours will go by and you'll realize, wow, what happened to time? So hopefully you won't get bounced out of your creative connection, a dog barking or something like that. You'll be able to stay in it as long as possible.
Really great. Well, TC, many thanks for all the fantastic input. And if that has piqued your interest, please stay connected and subscribe to the podcast or to our YouTube channel. Either way, you will get the information and we will do our best to help you grow in any way we can.
That's right.
TC, well, many thanks. Have a good rest of your day. Bye. Bye.
This podcast is powered by the Music Interval Theory Academy, your resource for getting clarity and confidence in music composition and orchestration. See you inside at musicintervaltheory.academy.